this might be a tag team with our message that we preached last Sunday night. Hungry, but not that hungry. Want to preach this message today to you. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And Jesus is directly talking about God and his son, which would be himself. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Talking about the disciples and the preachers and the apostles and the missionaries. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and killed them. And when the king heard about it, he was very angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. Because if they just gathered up the good, it would be about half of us who wouldn't be here today. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. He said unto him, friend, how did you get in here without having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I want to preach to you this morning for a little bit, this title, Call of the Ages. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we feel the somberness of the moment here today, and we sense the disparity of mind and heart that is in this building. There is a lacking of a unity that is here in this place this morning. There is a lack of cohesiveness of the body. And I pray, God, that as I preach and as the service continues forward, that there would be a coming together of the various parts, and that there would be a breathing of life, oh God. The bones come back together, and flesh on the bones, and that the breath of life would be breathed into this body of Christ today, and that it would stand on its feet as the army that it is, and feel the presence and the power and the anointing, and feel the deadness and the disparity and the separateness and the division fall off of it, and feel the cohesiveness and the coming together and that electrostatic charge, that magnetic pull of your Spirit to bring us together in love, oh God, in unity before we leave this place today. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's important when we come to the house of God to have our minds prepared. Bible says in Paul's teaching to his protege and apprentice Timothy in the gospel, he said, you should be ready all the time. It's hard, isn't it? He said, be instant. Whether it's a convenient season or an inconvenient season, be ready. Give an answer. Be ready to testify on behalf of the gospel of Christ. I want to talk to you for a little while on the call of the ages. It is the most important call you'll ever receive. I get a lot of calls on the phone and they're not all as important to me as others. I get calls from creditors, not for bills that I owe, but for bills that other people owe, and the calls from creditors and calls from solicitors, and we were at breakfast the other day, and Nathaniel had his phone with him, and Josh was, we were conversing and having a little bit of fellowship, and Nathaniel's phone rang, and he picked it up, and he looked at it, and he said, "Wrong number," and he hung it up and put it back in his pocket. And it rang again, and he looked at it, and he said, "Wrong number." And how many of you, when your phone rings and it comes up, and the caller ID says, "Wrong number"? You know, it's the 773 area code, you know, and it says Chicago, Illinois, or Tucson, Arizona, or California, or New York, or whatever, and you automatically think to yourself, this is not an important phone call. And you most likely, if you're smart, will not answer it. All of us, we get phone calls like that from time to time. And some phone calls we receive, and now in our fancy phones, we actually have, we can have distinct ringtones that we can, but you can take any sound in the world. You can even talk into your phone and say, "Patrick Ravello, Pedro," and then record it. And then I can attach it to his name. And when he calls me, the phone will go, "Pedro, Patrick Ravello." And I found that a long time ago. You've got to be careful not to let people hear your distinct ringtones that you have for them, because they can get their feelings hurt. You know, when Karis Hallam rings up on the phone, he goes, "Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo." You know, if she hears that, you know, and it does happen, people. I want to hear the ringtone you have for me. You know, and it's funny because you give people ringtones that you think matches their personality, and it's cool to you, and you don't even have to look at your phone. You know, "Cuckoo, cuckoo. Hello, Karis, how are you?" See? And you can also, even in the companies, depending on what company you're with, you can actually have a pre-programmed ringback tone that you can assign to people's phone numbers, and when they call you but you're busy, you can't pick up the phone, it will give a distinctive message to that person only. And I had one on there a while back for Brother Davis. It's been quite a few years ago. And he liked it so much he kept calling me on the phone. You want to get people to call you on the phone? Put their favorite song as a ringback tone. And he kept calling me. I said, "Hello, what's up, brother?" He said, "Would you pick up the phone before I called to listen to my ringtone?" And I won't tell you what it is, but I'll just tell you it ends with this, "Get her done." I couldn't put that on everybody's ringback tone because they wouldn't appreciate it like he did. God has been calling to mankind ever since He created us. He called out to Adam and Eve in the garden. "Adam, where are you?" He called out to Moses from the burning bush. He struck the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus with a blinding light and hollered at him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He spoke softly in the night to the young boy Samuel. He said, "Samuel, God has been calling to us ever since He created us." calling to us to get our attentions. Challenge us to live a better life. Challenge us to take advantage of the benefits of a relationship with Him. All God ever wanted from mankind was a relationship. All God ever wanted from us was to show us His love. All God ever created us for was for joy and happiness and peace and righteousness, and to create a race of beings that He could bestow on them His most precious and beloved gifts. That's why God calls to us. To invite us. To give us an invitation. To be a part of something better. To be a part of something greater. To be a part of His kingdom. To be a part of His family. To be a part of His innermost circle. God calls us to be a part of His life. He opens up that door and He says, come in. Jesus told a parable about a wedding banquet and a king. And it's important for us to pay attention to this, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this story. The kingdom of heaven is obviously something greater than our minds could wrap itself around. The kingdom of heaven is something beyond our reach and grasp to begin to even fathom. And even though John went to heaven in visions, and even though the angels helped him to measure that, it's still beyond comprehension. And as the queen, if it was Sheba, whoever it was, came from the south, or whichever direction she came from to see Solomon, with all the most priceless treasures and things she brought with her, the Bible says that there would never in the kingdom of Israel seen such gifts again. And she went in and she said, I have heard of the fame of you, your wisdom and your kingdom. I have heard of the happiness and the joy of your servants and all that you have built around you. And now that I have seen it, and now that I have been in your house and sit at your table for supper, now that I have heard your mouth expound wisdom, and she brought with her the most complex of difficult questions in her society that were troubling the people of the day, scientific, no doubt, in nature, some philosophical in nature, and others spiritual in nature. Saw his storehouses, saw his own house, saw the temple of God, and all of the beauty and all of the amazing blessings of God. And she said to him, the half has not been told to me. They didn't build it up big enough. They didn't tell it the half. When they told me it was good, they didn't tell me it was going to be this good. They told me you were wise and smart, but they didn't tell me you were that wise and smart. And I am so overwhelmed and so over amazed and so astounded and literally dumbfounded by the kingdom that you have established here under the hand. How much your God has blessed you. Just literally in modern day English, can we say, well, maybe back 20th century. And it blows my mind to see what God has established here with you. And she was blown away. And I'm here to tell you today that just as she was amazed and astounded by the blessings that God had bestowed on Solomon, that she could not even contain or fathom it in her mind. So the blessings that God has in store for His people that will believe in Him and live for Him and follow Him, it cannot be fathomed what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. We're going to get up there and we're going to say, the half has not even been told, and how beautiful this place is. No barbecue for the
minor cure or surgery or any type of physical infirmity that can be touched and healed by the modern medicine of man is going to compare when you see the leaves plucked off of that tree for the healing of the nations. Brother Junior, no fishing that you've ever done in any fish pond is going to even come to have to compare. Brother Philip, no fish and no ocean, no boat ride and no fish that you can pull out of the sea and that you can cook up and put on your plate is going to be able to compare with the fish that's going to live in the sea. The Bible says that the river of water that comes from underneath the throne of God, that it goes out into all of the rivers and oceans of the earth and heals them. It's not going to compare anything that you have experienced in this life with what God is going to reveal to us when we are in His kingdom in all of His fullness. I like what Jesus said to the Jews. He said, you've talked about Solomon. The Queen of Sheba talks about Solomon. He said, but I'm here to tell you that a greater than Solomon is here. God calls us into friendship with Him. God invites us out of His goodwill and nature, and He wants to give good gifts. The Bible says, every good gift comes down from the Father above. Every single good gift comes down from God. And He even puts His gifts on the bad and on the good, because God wants good things for His creation. When a king invites you to a marriage feast, And I have difficulty sometimes in bringing these two parts of the nature of God together. When he invites you to a wedding feast for His Son, you have to go. You have to go. It is, and I realize that here in the United States of America, we have an individualistic mindset and mentality, and we won't bow to anyone. And that is a helpful mindset for the Christians sometimes, because the pressures of the sinful world and the pressures of the devil come against us, and it would be easy for us to acquiesce and give in. And so, in some ways, I guess it could be helpful. God allowed a country to be created here in the end of the age, a defiant country. But he wants us to use that defiance against sin and evil and wickedness in the world and not against Him. And of course, the problem is that we defy Him and turn our defiant nature on Him. But, and that's the way it is here in America, but in other societies it's not so. If you're given an invitation, you have to go. Because if you don't, at best, you will be an outcast of society. Because you did not go the invitation of the king to His Son's marriage. You will be shunned by the others who attended because you didn't. And at worst, the king will become so angry that he will take it as an offense. He will take it as an act of defiance, as an act of rebellion, and he will come and kill you with his armies to stamp out the rebellious from his kingdom. For authority must be established and maintained. Society to reach its pinnacle. And I have a problem with that. I mean, I have a problem in my mind bringing those things together. And then the Lord talks to me and He said, why do you find it so hard to believe that there are some people that I won't have anything to do with? Why do you find it so hard to believe that there are some things that I absolutely refuse to have anything to do with? And I will, with vehement anger and desire, destroy these things. You know, God
God told Israel to go into the land of Canaan and kill everybody. That's a difficult thing to ascertain in an American mind. But then the Lord says, well, are there not certain people in your life that you refuse to have anything to do with? Amen. I wouldn't ever let that person in my house. They come through the front door, right? How far do they go? That's as far as they go. How you doing? Can I help you? But you're not coming in my house. And so it's funny, isn't it, how we have one set of logic for God, and we have one set of logic for ourselves. It's okay for me to refuse to fellowship with certain people. It's okay for me to bring the hammer down where I don't like what's going on, and for me to tell it like it is, and for me to do it like I think it needs to be done, and I will do what I need to do to take care of mine and my own, but God don't have the right to do that. Well, you better wake up and smell the coffee, baby. The story is clear. It's plain and it's true. It's one thing to just reject God's invitations, to snub Him and to spite Him, and just to ignore His calls for friendship. And it's another thing to persecute, to hatefully and despitefully use those who carry the invitation. Bible is very clear how the kingdom of God is set up. Those who reject the invitation become rejects. You get what you give. You know. Those who persecute the kingdom are then in turn persecuted by the king. I realize that we are living under the graces of God, and we don't have the right ourselves to carry out such things, because these things are left to the hand, the mind, and the heart of a just and loving God. And He brings the hammer down when He feels that it is needed, that it is right. We don't have the right to decide who does and doesn't have a right to breathe and live this earth. We don't have a right to decide who does and doesn't make it into the ark. We don't have a choice over what animals and we don't have a choice over those things. It's God that chooses those things. It's God that sets up kings and kingdoms. And it's God that removes kings and kingdoms from places of power and authority. And if God is so incensed in what you are doing is so bad that it is perverting the world around you, God will stamp it out and He will stamp you out when He has enough of it. When He gets it up to here, there always comes a time of judgment. But what I'm wanting to get across to you today is very simple. Respective of people's responses, respective of people's accepting or declining or even spitefully misusing God's messengers and His invitations, God still calls for us to come into friendship and relationship with Him. And it's not a do it or else type thing. It's not a you better answer the call or else. It's not a, and I know that sometimes as preachers and as humans we misrepresent God's attitudes and we make people feel like that they better do it or else. And people just don't respond to that. You know, you better do it or else. You know, that may work with your child. That may work with your dog. But that's not going to work with another human being. And I'm not saying that children aren't human beings. But I'm just saying that you have authority, legal authority over their lives to direct and guide their steps while they're learning. But other adults have the right to make their own decisions. And And it's wrong to point your finger at people's faces. It's wrong to attack people and to disparage them because of their choices and things. We are called to bring an invitation. We are called to share this message with the world and to let them make up their own minds. It's not a you better answer the call or else. It's a why wouldn't you? The messengers come and those are rejected and those are the excuses are all taken out of the way. Then the king said, but I need guests for my table. I have gifts to bestow. I have a sumptuous meal prepared and a celebration to throw. I want this banquet hall filled with people. I want you to go out into the city. And I want you to find the crippled and the poor. I want you to find the blind. I want you to gather them up. Even the bad and the good. Even the evil and the good. Bring them all in here because we've got a party to throw. I've got gifts to give. I've got blessings to bestow and things to pour. Well, I don't want his blessings. Well, that's your choice. But the question is why? Would you not want to be a part of the king's celebration? Why would you not want to pick up the phone when it rings and it says, God? You know, maybe Brother Lowell's phone will say, the divine, the divinity. And he might have, you know, the hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah! You know, hallelujah! You know. Oh, it's God called. I'll be all right. Hang on a second. I got to take this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't you want to answer? Adam, where are you? A person that does not want to answer the call of God. A person that runs from the call of God obviously has something to hide. They obviously have something wrong with their spirit. They've got something broken in their hearts and lives. And if anybody needs to answer the call, it's them. The broken and the crippled and the maimed, bring them into my house. And let there be a celebration such as never before we've seen. I was like, I want to have a party. You can either come to it and be a part of it, or you can stay out there in the cold. That's your business. There's going to be weeping out there and gnashing of teeth. Here's the choice. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. Celebration, light, sumptuous fare, joy, and a personal friendship with the king. And it might be a good idea to go because the sun is going to take over. Hallelujah. Amen. The sun is going to take over and want to be there. At least show your face. There is a call that is going out in the spirit. Jesus said, if you have an ear, hear what I am saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Answer the call. Answer the call. Isaiah is a great one to talk about these things. He encapsulated the call of God. In the very first chapter of his collection of writings and prophecies and visions, he says in verse 18, come and let us reason together. God says, come on, let's have a conversation. Come on, let's build a relationship. Come on, let's talk about things that are going on in your life. Let's reason together. You bring it to me. And just like Queen Sheba, you can bring your hardest questions up, and you're going to find out that Solomon is way smarter than your hardest questions. Bring me your questions, Jesus said. Come, let us reason together through the prophet Isaiah. Come on and find out. And I like what David said in Psalm. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on in and let's have
a conversation. Let's talk about the things that are bothering you. And you're going to find out that God is a lot wiser than Solomon, because who's the one that gave Solomon his wisdom to begin with? I love it because I get all wrapped up in my own mind. I get all wrapped up in my own thoughts. And all the text messages are coming in, and emails and IMs and phone calls and things. And God gets lost in the shuffle. God is calling to a world. God is calling to a church. In Isaiah 55, it said, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." God is always calling to us. I have what you need. If you can just take a moment to, I ask God, you know, God always will talk to you and tell you what is on your mind and what He thinks about things. I was praying for somebody in the hospital one time. And there's nothing more disconcerting than to stand in an emergency room and there a young man of 22 years of age, laying there dead, to feel the helplessness that we have as human beings, to feel the deep helplessness. And I asked God one time a while ago, why do I not see the miracles and the healings that we hear about and have read about? And God spoke to me immediately. He said, "Because you're too busy. Because you're in too much of a hurry. Don't even have the time to stop. Let it go to voicemail and have a conversation with God." There's a call going out in Isaiah chapter 6, a great call went out. And Isaiah sees a vision of God in heaven. He sees the angels, specifically seraphims, they're called, in heaven. And he sees the glory of God and the smoke from off the altars of heaven. And he hears the gates and the door jams and frames of the heavenly temple shaking in the presence of God and the voices that are speaking. And he's completely unnerved and completely humbled and laid out on the floor in complete shame and puniness and just feeling his insignificance in the world. And God calls out from heaven. And it's the same call that's still going out today. And calling all those to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, "Who will go and who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, God, send me." We've got to answer the call. God will never forgive one sin that we do not repent of. God will never bestow eternal blessings on one person who is not coming to Him and answering His call. We preached about Cornelius Sunday night, and how that God sent Peter to preach the gospel to them. Why did God do that? Cornelius was a Gentile. He was lost and on his way to hell. But he prayed every day and led his house in devotions. He fasted all the time and led his house in example. He gave of his personal finances to the poor and the needy. But he was not saved, because it says in the book of Acts, I believe chapter 11, there in that chapter, he said, God sent an angel to me and told me to go get this guy Peter, because he's going to tell me what I need to do to be saved. Let me tell you something. If you're trying, you're living the best that you know how, and you're laboring under the assumption that God hears prayers, and that God sees your benevolence and your actions and your philanthropy, and God knows your heart. You better believe He hears your prayers. He knows it. But he wasn't even saved. But the Bible says his prayers went up before God as a memorial. And I know that flies in the face of other teachings of the Scripture, but you have to understand there is always two sides to the coin. And we may not be saved. We may not have the blood of Jesus. Jesus applied to our hearts. We may not have accessed His grace for eternal life yet, but I'm here to tell you that God still hears the prayers of the sincere. God still hears the prayers of the penitent in heart, and His desire is to bring them all of the good gifts of His kingdom. And He came and visited Cornelius. No doubt there were many Christians who will never have an angelic visitor, and they've been baptized and they've been filled with the Spirit. They've had His blood applied to their hearts, and it blots out the record of sin in the book of life in heaven. But this man, this Gentile, Roman Italian sinner man, got the attentions of God, and God sent him a messenger with an invitation: come and be a part of my kingdom. And the Bible says while the messenger was yet giving his message, that Cornelius and all of his house said a big, giant, hearty RSVP, "We will be there." And the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell immediately while they were in their hearts receiving the invitation to come. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And Cornelius and all his house was baptized and saved, and a whole entire generation and a whole entire movement went out into the world, releasing salvation and invitations just to Jews. And God released His call to the whole entire world through one sinner, devout sinner man. There's an ironic contradiction, isn't it? A devout sinner. How many of you have ever been a devout sinner? How many of you know a devout sinner? Man, I'm over here, out here, having a tailgate party. Amen. We've got brats and onions and green peppers on the grill. We don't have any brewskis in the cooler, but we got your favorite pop in there, okay? We're all sober. I don't know where y'all at, sitting at home watching him on the TV, or where you are. God is calling to the church. Revelation 22 says, "Come." Spirit says, "Come." The bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Come, I have good things in store for you. Come and let me show you, as Jesus, the Bible says in the book of John, of the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the Jews celebrated God's provision in the wilderness by feeding them with manna from heaven every single day for 40 years, and giving them water from rocks and wells out in the driest and most desolate places in Arabia. In the wilderness, it was called. And they, all the Jews, living out in their front yards and out in the streets of the city and out in the outskirts in the suburbs and in the country, they all had tents set up, and sprigs and leaves of trees and sticks, and little tents and little tabernacles, and they were rejoicing that God brought them through the wilderness. Hallelujah. But God didn't call us out of Egypt to leave us to die in the wilderness, but He called us to a land that flows with milk and honey. And as the priests on that last day made their way down to one of the pools, maybe Bethesda, and they dipped their vessels in the water of the well, and they marched in procession back to the temple. And when they got into the temple courts, they would pour out the water as a libation before God, in remembrance of His provision for food and for quenching of thirst in the wilderness. And there was a man that stood there, a messenger from heaven. Hallelujah! And he cried as the water was poured, no doubt, onto the cobblestones, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the waters of life freely." And this spake he of the the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. There is still a call going out today. God wants to quench our thirst.
Not just for a moment, but He wants to place inside of us a well of spring water of life that never, ever runs dry, that never, ever runs short on provisions. Jesus said, "Come unto me." Let's stand together today. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And here's why you need to answer the call. Jesus said, "And you will find rest for your soul." It's more than just a party. It's more than just a marriage celebration, though Jesus used that as an illustration. It's more than that. The water that's being served and the wine that's being served has eternal nourishment and benefits to us. The bread and the meat that is going to be served is going to literally heal. I was talking to a friend recently, and they were mentioning that they had a relative who, in their early 20s, was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And the doctor said, "You have to have surgery, and you have to have treatments." And the young man said, "I will not have surgery, and I will not have treatments. But I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change the way I eat." And he immediately eliminated all meat products from his diet. He began to research and began to fill his table with all of these good and healthy foods. And I'm trying to remember the time frames. I believe it's been, this young man is in his 30s now. Never had surgery. Never had any treatments, and is completely cancer-free today. But yet others that he was associated with for a moment that had the same cancers and that had the treatments, today, they're dead. Why am I saying all this? Am I telling you not to listen to your doctor? That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you to listen to the call of the Spirit. I was reading about one lady that over in Europe was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And you know what her response to it was? Her response was to take up running. She's my hero. I want to be like her when I grow up. And you know what she decided to do? She decided to run a marathon every single day for a year. And in 1 year, she ran 366 marathons. On the last day, she ran 2 marathons back to back. And I was able to see an interview on the internet of a radio station interviewing her. She took her pace slow, maybe 10, 11 minute miles. Took her a little over 5 hours to do a marathon. You have to have so many people run with you for it to be classified as a marathon. She got the support of the communities of people from all over the world came to run with her. 366 marathons. That was her response to her diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
God is calling today. What He has to offer us is a healing balm. What He has to offer us will heal the broken and bring together the broken pieces. What He has to offer us is a water that can't possibly be water. But whatever it is, it quenches the thirst of a soul. To be nourished with this fruit. To find a place where our soul can rest. Where all of the benefits of heaven fall down upon our minds and our spirits. And we immediately have access. The Bible says, no man hath known the mind of God, nor hath instructed him or in any way guided him at any time. Nobody taps the Father. But the Apostle Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Accessing through Christ into the eternal nature and power of the Almighty God and Father of all creation. I want to be at that celebration. I want to respond yes to that invitation. There are many invitations and many voices going out into the world. You can't answer them all. You can't go to all the parties. You can't go to all the celebrations. The world that we live in is almost like being stranded and marooned in a broken down ship in the middle of the ocean. Surrounded by water all around us, but nothing to drink. There are many voices calling today, but none of those things will satisfy your thirst. There are many numbers coming up on your phone and on your radar, but none of them have the answers for the situations and the questions that you have. Peter said you need to make your calling and election sure. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow anyone else. Let's bow our heads together today. And let's talk to God. I don't know why God brought this message to you today. And amongst the others that were jostling for attention. And I know that you may be thinking to yourself, well, I'm saved. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of those things are wonderful. Wonderful that you responded to the invitation. But Jesus went on to say that there was a man as the king mingled with the guests. As he looked at the cripples, he didn't see their crippling injuries, etc., but he saw the garment. He saw the garment. And what kind of a garment it was? Was it a garment of praise? Was it? I says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of life. He saw the garments and he mingled with the guests, blind some of them. Some of them missing limbs. Some of them unable to walk. Some of them in all manner of sorts of situations. And he mingled with the guests and he found one with no garment on. And he said, how did you get in here? Where's your garment? He was speechless. The king said, take him out of here. Punish him. And then Jesus made this statement. There are many called. There are few that are chosen. I wonder what category that we would fall in today. I wonder what category you fall in today. Are we just called? Or are we of the chosen who have answered the call and responded? This altar is open if you would like to come and pray.
for a little while if you would like to come and talk more seriously with God.